Hi, this is Erica Spiegelman, and on this episode of Rewired Radio, today I'm welcoming Deborah Simpson.
They are beautiful, wonderful, amazing children. But if they can get away with it and they can sneak and not get caught, they're going to do it.
This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. As some of you may know, addiction impacts one in three households in America, which means millions of mothers and fathers have watched their sons and daughters struggle with drug and alcohol dependency. Today, I'm welcoming Deborah Simpson, whose 2002 car accident affected not only her own life, but the life of her teenage son, Stephen, who began experimenting with powerful painkillers and other drugs prescribed to his mother. Stephen's experimentation soon turned into a heroin addiction that he battled for years. Deborah's here today to talk to us about how she and her husband recognized the red flags in Stephen's behavior, as well as the role they played as parents in making sure Stephen received the treatment and support he needed to put himself on the path to recovery. Deborah will also talk about their experience that shaped the development of Safer Lock, a tool that families can use to deter addiction to prescription drugs. Welcome, Deborah, to the show. So grateful to have you with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Erica.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a very, this is a very intense story, a story of resilience, a story of healing, a story of recovery, but also a story of a lot of pain. And I'm really honored that you're here and so open-hearted and minded to share this with our listeners, because I think a lot of parents are experiencing the same kinds of things or have experienced that. And you know, can you tell us just a little bit about how you pulled through this and kind of what inspired you to start Safer Lock?
Well, it all started when I was in a very serious car accident, as you said, in 2002, which put me in a wheelchair. I've been through 34 surgeries, but the real tragedy was the fact that I had painkillers around, from Vicodin to Percocet, Dilaudid, Oxycontin, Oxycodone, Hydrocodone, morphine, around the house. And unbeknownst to me, the tragedy came in when my son, Stephen, started stealing the pills, one or two pills at a time. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it sounds like that this is how a lot of kids are kind of introduced to drugs. I think, that it probably starts in school. Some kids have it, some kids use it. And it doesn't seem as bad because it is a prescription pill, or it's a prescription drug. And so I think a lot of kids don't see it as necessarily street drugs. Would you agree? Have you heard that echoed?
Absolutely. The drug is in a prescription bottle, and teens do believe that it's absolutely safe. Most parents is always, it's not my kid, until it's too late. Similar to me, I was in denial because of Stephen's abuse. He started, with alcohol, unbeknownst to me, at around 14. Age 15 is when I believe he started using, stealing my medications one or two at a time. As a non-addict, I feel like pain medication makes you feel horrible. But I've learned through the many rehabs that from an addict's perspective, it makes them feel euphoric, relaxed, and very pleasant. It triggers a very pleasurable feeling in them. So I had a very, very difficult time understanding why anybody would ever start stealing pain medication. My family went through 5 years of an absolute nightmare. And when I say nightmare, that means you feel like you can't sleep. You feel like you're going to scream and cry all the time. You're paranoid. The only time I felt safe is when he was in rehab. When he came out of the rehab, there would be constantly, I would constantly pay $50 for a drug test just to make sure he was clean because I was so nervous about it. And you know, if I would have had a safer lock, just locking up my medications, because he was, most of these kids are very goody-two-shoes. They're very good quality people, and most children do not want to disappoint their parents. They really don't. And if it's locked up, they're not going to break that lock. I mean, they really aren't. He would never have done anything that we would have known, but the sneaking and the lying and... I could go on and on, frankly. The pain associated with it is unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's a cycle. It's a cycle for these kids too. It's like, you know, once they betray themselves or they betray you or their integrity gets compromised, you know, even at 14, you know, I tell my clients this a lot. It's like you make that one choice at 14, you're a child and, you know, you compromise your integrity, all the things you've learned not to do and drugs are bad for you and, you know, peers are doing it. And it's that one thing that then leads to the next, to the next, to the next, and secrets and lies, you know, create such a web for people, and it gets really hard. They get stuck in it, and so I'm just want to normalize that for any parents that are going through this. And also, you know, it'd be helpful if you could share any red flags that you saw that maybe came up that other parents could look for if they're concerned about their children.
I think they should. He was very active in sports.
Yeah,
and I think the one of the keys is always look at their pupils. When they are on drugs, their pupils tend to either, if it's a meth, which he did go through a meth period, your eyes are absolutely overly huge.
If it's
an Oxycontin, it goes to a tiny little dot. And so if you're watching your children's eyes, if they're acting a little bit normal, the eyes will generally give it away. And so, and there's often redness in the eyes. In my situation, my son, as a full-blown addict, kept his grades up, learned how to lie to me over and over again by saying he was going to his friend's house, who I knew were really, I knew the parents, they're really good people, and actually he's going over to the, you know, localized drug house. So they learn how to lie. And so what do you do as a parent? Sometimes check up on them. Check, you know, make sure that, you know, if they have a car, are they really at that friend's house? He still went on a full-blown academic scholarship, even though he was an addict. So the signs for me were much more challenging because I frankly didn't really realize it until he was in his second year of college when he got kidney stones. And he made a mistake by telling me he went to the doctor on Monday, and then he was in his Nevada doctor, and then on Friday he came back and said he was out of medication, and that's when the serious lights went off, and that's when the rehab cycle started. But it wasn't until he was 19. I truly believe parents can make a significant difference in their child's life if they find out early, before it goes too far. A regular pill addiction, they're very expensive. They run, you know, $20 to up to $80 a pill. A heroin fix is $5 to $6. So that's why they drop down to heroin, as my son did.
Absolutely.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That was very helpful. Yeah, it's an epidemic that is really sweeping our country. And like you said, and I'm happy you mentioned this, like, you know, kids could have good grades. They could be presenting externally somewhat okay. But, you know, I think parents, you know, need to step out of the bubble of denial and really, you know, dig deep down and say, like, you know, like, are they not engaging in sports like they used to? Do they look physically different? Are they, you know, starting to be gone from the house all the time? I mean, there's just little things, but I'm really, I really am happy you share that, because that's one of the most I think common questions I get asked from parents is, what are the signs? So yes, that is extremely helpful.
I can give you a great example. I was at a university down in Southern California, and I actually had known, we were at a round table with, in essence, the parents, in a very wealthy area, and I had actually known that this particular mother's son had really been into drugs until he was about 28. I understand that he did straighten out, but we went to the seminar, and this woman said that, and she didn't know any of this, but I knew this in confidence, And she actually said, you don't have to do that if you raise your children right. And I'm saying to parents, we do raise them right. We raise them to do the right things. They understand lying. They understand that they shouldn't do these things. But she, even at 28 now, I believe is 35 and straight, he was a user. And yet at 35, he had never, his parents and family were still in denial that he had never, they said that I didn't raise my children right.
Right.
And so another sign that you can pick up on, Erica, is when they, this is actually how I found out about his heroin addiction, the signs that they go to the bathroom more than regular. When Stephen was on heroin, now keep in mind, now I'm a much smarter parent. We went to Marie Callender's for lunch, and as we went in, he walked in, went into the bathroom, and then he came out. 20 minutes later, he got up and went to the bathroom again. That was a huge sign. So what I did as a parent, as I went in, I waited about 3 or 4 minutes, and I walked into the men's room. I went underneath the little stall, and I watched him not shooting heroin, but snorting heroin. As a result, I took him away, and we went through, we went up into the wilderness in Oregon, and I took him through withdrawal without any medical assistance, probably a little dangerous, but as a helpless parent, in many cases, don't know what to do. Now, that went into a very successful rehab for several years, but the fact that they're going into the bathroom multiple times is a huge sign. If they're throwing up when they shouldn't be, that's a huge sign of withdrawal because they can't get the medication. The desire that they have, it's always the next fix, the next fix. Their mind is not thinking about how much they love you like you believe. Their mind is on how do I get the next money for the next fix. After high school, my son started cutting lawns. He soon figured out that he could go and ask to use the bathroom, and when he went into the bathroom, he would get drugs. There were no safer locks. The medications were not locked up. That was a great supplier for him. Maids, anyone that comes into your house, they have access to that medicine cabinet. Now, they're not going to steal the whole thing because then they get caught. But they are going to take a few pills at a time, and that supplied him with Oxycontin, Percocets for a very long period of time just by stealing from strangers, aunts and uncles, grandparents are a source. The pain, I hope the parents can feel the pain associated where you're in 5 years of constant screaming, constant paranoia, constant suffering that we went through. Now, I have been blessed because my son is alive, although we did almost lose him on several occasions. When he was on meth, we found him running down the center of a four-lane, very, very busy street. And so, and other situations, and the pain that goes through it, and if you can catch it early, stop it early, they don't know the drug dealers yet. They do know the medicine cabinet. As they continue with their addiction, they figure out very quickly how to get the pills because the addiction is driving them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why Safer Lock is such a wonderful way to prevent. Prevention, I think, is key, and that's what you're talking about, too. Preventing your children from actually going, you know, to a level where they almost do die and really get into, even though I think prescription drugs are just as bad as street drugs, it's still, like you said, trying to stop it before it gets really to the utmost lowest bottom. And also, you know, I also want to echo this, that, you know, when kids, when people, adults, anybody is on drugs, they're hijacked by drugs. They aren't thinking about how much they're disappointing themselves or you or how much they love you. It is seriously about it. It's their brain is hijacked mentally, physically, their bodies are, you know, the tissues in their bodies are screaming for the drugs. You know, they can't physically take it. Emotionally, they're hijacked. They're, like you said. So this is something that is, you know, hard for parents of people that aren't addicts to understand, you know, why are they doing this to themselves? Why are they doing this to me? And that's not really a fair statement, because it's something so beyond that we can't really even imagine if you haven't had a family member or been through it yourself until you get educated. So I'm happy you're here today educating our audience, telling people the signs, normalizing this, but also giving solutions. So let's talk a little bit about SaferLock, and this is a tool. This is a key, I think, one of the most incredible things out there to actually help prevent people, kids, whoever it is, from going into medicine cabinets, and also creating just another level of safety so that people don't get into the things that they shouldn't be getting into.
Well, I absolutely agree, Erica. The SaferLock was developed because unbeknownst to parents, when you have multiple teenage children, they will never, it's a teenage bond, they will never tell on each other. My older son knew that his brother was using. So he came to me, and I kept on saying, I got to lock my medication up, but, I was in a wheelchair. I'm out of a wheelchair now, but I was in a wheelchair, so I couldn't put things in the safe. It was too difficult to get in and out, so I would always have pain medication in my purse. And so it was very accessible and easy, and very easy for them to get. I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're talking about SaferLock.
I got a little emotional there thinking about how he used to steal things from my purse, so I apologize.
No, it's okay. I was just saying we were just getting into the fact of how SaferLock came to be, because, like you said, it's people don't really go to those lengths. No one wants to think of the worst case scenario. You know, I mean, when you are in so much pain yourself and going through the trauma that you went through, the first thought isn't, you know, my son's going to steal these or go into my purse. And like you were talking about, you said your older son wouldn't tell on his younger brother. So.
Right. What happened was he came to me one day and he said, I've thought about what you're doing. You have medication in your purse, but you know that that's illegal because it doesn't have the label on it. And I've checked all the patents around, and I truly believe that there has to be a locking cap for prescription medications. And I've done the research, and I think I can develop it. Now, this is an 18-year-old jumping in and saying, I see a serious problem. I see a problem with pill parties where teens, 11 to 17, get together, everyone's required to bring three or four pills. They throw them in a bowl, and then they see who acts more stupid. Now, just to give you an idea of the power behind this, I have a very good friend of mine who runs a $300 million company, and I saw him probably about 8 months ago, and he said, that's silly. Kids don't do that. They're smart enough not to take the pills in the party. He said, I just can't believe. You know, and it's always not my kid. 3 months later, he called me back, and he said, I am so sorry, Debs, that I didn't believe you. I am so sorry because my daughter's best friend just went to a pill party and died. It's the parent's denial. And so what happened with us is SaferLock came about, and initially, we gave my son, I bought him the $200 worth of locks, let him play and do whatever he was doing. It was educational. And he came up all on his own. He got together with a friend, and a bunch of family members added some money. We thought it was more like an educational tool. And he invited two of his friends to actually help him in with this particular project. And he came up with an amazing prototype, an amazing product. And at that point, we, as a family group, made a decision to actually, we really felt like we were giving the money away for their education to help. And the product was so powerful and so powerfully received that we took it to the next level. And that became SaferLock. And I have one question for every parent. What parent would not spend $20 even if there was a 1% chance their child might get into those drugs? Even if there's a 1% chance to protect your child, it locks up your medication. Like I said, they won't disappoint you. They are beautiful, wonderful, amazing children. But if they can get away with it and they can sneak and not get caught, they're going to do it. They're curious. We don't want to stifle curiosity in our children, but this is a place where they're very curious. They want to know what it feels like. They want to experience it. This is one place where it can kill you to experience.
Absolutely. And I have to just say something, since I've been working in the drug and alcohol field for so many years, and I'm on the front lines every day with clients. I you know, most of them echo the same thing, that they didn't really think it was going to become a problem. You know, I mean, I don't think kids who are curious at 14, 15 really, you know, say, oh, 10 years from now, I want to be in my 10th rehab, or I want to be, you know, sitting in a hospital overdosed. It doesn't begin that way. But what I think people don't understand, and doctors have a responsibility to explain this to people as well, this is a whole nother subject matter, but really how the drugs react in certain people's systems, and how it kind of turns on the light switch for people that have a genetic, you know, maybe disposition to liking something, you know, and all these different things that could come about. You just never know. Like you said, you never know how that first pill is going to actually affect you, and where that's going to end, and how that's going to change the path, your path, or the fate of your life. So why not prevent? Why not, you know, keep your children safe? I mean, it's like you said, it's such a small investment really for a lifetime, hopefully, of, you know, of growth and health and wellness. So I really echo the same thing as you do. And why not, you know, continue to kind of, I would love to see this to be on a national level and have our senators and politicians actually be making this required, because this is something that really could save millions of lives.
And I am with you 100%. I've volunteered 6 years of my life to support with a passion for saving lives and children. Stephen, my son, now talks and goes to high schools to talk about drug abuse and how not to get started. If they do have that addictive gene, the parents need to sit down. If there's any alcoholism, any drug abuse in the family, they need to sit down and explain. Your brain is in a developmental stage, you know, until you're 21. By taking this, you're really hurting your overall development. You're hindering your everything in your life by continuing or taking that first pill. And the reaction of a person with the genetic gene is completely different from their friend who may not have the genetic gene. And
absolutely.
So the one without the genetic gene say, well, that's okay, it was nothing. But the one with the genetic gene said, wow, that was euphoric, that was amazing, that was so special, I got to do it again. And then before you know it, they're hooked.
Absolutely. And so now, thank gosh, your son is in recovery, right? And he is obviously creating a new identity, a new path for himself, which is fantastic. And just to let people know out there, if you don't mind, how long did it take? How many treatments? Because I think some people don't understand that it doesn't just sometimes go away after one attempt to send your child to a treatment center.
Exactly. It actually, Erica took 4 rehabs to go through. And the first one, because he wasn't ready, because he wasn't committed, was basically, a 30-day drug education on how to hide, how to lie, how to sneak, where you can put the trees, or put the trees, put the drugs. You can put it in trees, kind of like a squirrel hiding its nuts. You know, they learn a lot. I would suggest a program longer than that, with continued support behind it. It's a long and difficult process. I mean, we have been very blessed that he's alive. My best friend lost her son because he was going through withdrawal, who was one of Stephen's close friends since the time he was a baby. And so it is everywhere, it's a family. It's not just the addict that it's affected. The entire family suffers. And that having one family avoid that particular process of taking a child through it, just one family makes the 6 years that I've donated my life to well worth it.
Absolutely.
Because it's that painful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your family friend. And also, just one more time to echo that, it does affect every single person. It doesn't matter age, demographic, class, religion, societal, you know, wherever you, whatever you're doing in this world, it can affect you and it can get to you. And so it does, no one is safe and nobody is untouchable when it comes to this. And like you said, thankfully you have a wonderful family. You provided unconditional love and support and never gave up on your son. And I think that's another message that I hope everybody hears today, because even if it's the third time, the 16th time, the 10th time that your child wants to go again to get help, send them for help, because you never know when that time is going to actually be the time that it ends and that things turn around. So that's my encouragement always to parents, is to try and try again. Don't give up. And you never know when it could actually begin to change. So thank you for being with us today, Deborah Simpson. And can you give a website where people can find you and find SaferLock?
It's www.saferlockrx.com. SaferLockrx.com. And I hope that this helps families recognize the signs. And and I guess my message would be to everyone, please lock up your drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I second that all the way. Thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to Rewired Radio. Remember to catch every episode of Rewired Radio. Just hit subscribe and rate and review us. Let us know how we're doing. This episode of Rewired Radio has been produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health talk 24/7. I'm Erica Spiegelman. You could find me at Erica Spiegelman on Twitter. Also check out my show page at RadioMD.com for all my past episodes. Thank you for listening and stay well.